morning. We are so glad to be here in the presence of the Lord. We've experienced His Holy Spirit this morning. And so we welcome you who are watching us on video, on Facebook, whatever it is. We welcome you today to join us for the message of the Word of God. We have praised Him and thanked Him for the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And it is only the blood of Jesus. By Him are we redeemed. I am going to bring a message today the Lord laid on my heart. A message about the God who sees. El Roi. The God who sees. Let us just pray before we begin today. Our precious Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your Holy Spirit. I thank You that You are the God who knows us, who sees us when no one else does. You understand and You are there for us, and I thank You, Lord. Give us Your blessing today. I ask You to anoint our hearts and our ears to receive, our minds to receive, and anoint me, O God, to give the message that You want me to give. Let it be Your words in Jesus' name. Amen. The God who sees, El Roi. We remember this is a very familiar passage that we think about many times when we say the God who sees. We remember the story of Hagar. This was a woman who was a slave who never thought God would take notice of her. Hagar was not an important person. She was not wealthy. But she was a servant, an Egyptian slave who was required to be obedient, to do just what she was told. No liberty, no freedom other than what she was told. She was dependent on Abram and Sarai, God's chosen people, for her existence. They probably purchased her at the time when they went into Egypt. And I don't know, the Bible doesn't tell us, but no doubt they... When they went into Egypt, and he claimed that Sarai was his sister, so that he wouldn't get killed. And then when the Pharaoh said, "What in the world have you done?" God revealed to him, "This is not just your sister; this is your wife." But anyway, and then he gave them gifts, and no doubt this was possibly one of the gifts that was given this slave girl. A girl that was given, can you imagine being a girl that never has a future other than to serve someone else? But that was Hagar's life. When Abram was 70, and I'm calling him Abram because his name had not yet been changed. When he was 75 years old, he was still childless. And but yet God told him that He was going to make him a father of a great nation. In Genesis, the 12th chapter, verse 2, He said, "And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." And then in Genesis, the 15th chapter, again, God tells him. In the 5th verse, He said, "Look up at the sky and count the stars, so shall your offspring be." And then the Lord seals the covenant while Abram slept, assuring him of the covenant. Remember how that the animals were laid there and God walked between, and He assured him again of that covenant. Abram didn't have to do anything to make this promise come to fruition. But then we read in Genesis, the 16th chapter, and that's so true of so many times the way that we do. God gives us a promise and we get anxious and think there's something we need to do to make it happen. But God gives us a promise that there's no time in God's book. He just gives us a promise and we know that He will bring it to pass. Now, there are some promises that are contingent, or all of them are contingent on our obedience. But Abraham, we read in the 16th chapter, Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian maidservant named Hagar. So she said to Abram, "The Lord has kept me from having children." Now she's blaming God about it, see. "The Lord's kept me from having children. Go sleep with my maidservant. Perhaps I can build a family through her." Now you may think this sounds terrible, but this was common in their culture. This was their privilege if they chose to do so. And But we know that just because it's a privilege or that's the culture, it doesn't mean it's God's will. And Abram agreed to what Sarai said. There was a big mistake that he made. He listened to his wife. Sometimes she can be a helpmate, but he listened to her when he shouldn't have. And so after Abram had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian maidservant, Hagar, and gave her to her husband to be his wife. How many of you know that there is never room for more than one woman in a household? And especially she's the boss. There's not space for any more. But he slept with Hagar, and she conceived. When she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. You see, she felt like that she had a privilege, and she became haughty, and it changed her attitude. And then Sarah said to Abram, "You're responsible for the wrong I'm suffering." She's going to blame him now. "I put my servant in your arms, and now that she knows she's pregnant, she despises me. May the Lord judge between you and me. Your servant," Abram said, "is in your hands. Do with her whatever you think best." There's another mistake. And he said, then Sarai mistreated Hagar, so she fled from her. She abused her and mistreated her. The angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert. It was the spring that is beside the road to Shur. And he said, "Hagar, servant of Sarai." You see, the angel of the Lord knew exactly who she was, because I'm going to tell you in just a minute who I believe that angel was. "Servant of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going?" Two important questions. Where have you come from and where are you going? In our lives, God asks us that question as well. Where did you come from and where are you going? She said, "I'm running away from my mistress, Sarai." Then the angel of the Lord told her, "Go back to your mistress and submit to her." We find times in our lives when it's a tough pill to swallow, but God tells us, go right back where you came from and start over. I have a plan for you. And the angel added, "I will so increase your descendants that they will be too numerous to count." You see, God had a blessing for her as well. The angel of the Lord also said to her, "You are now with child and you'll have a son. You shall name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard of your misery. He will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone and everyone's hand against him." Now, you may think that sounds like a curse, but a donkey was a very prized possession. And she's seeing that this man is going to be strong and people will oppose him, but he's going to overcome. He'll live in hostility toward all his brothers. She gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her. She said, "You are the God who sees me. You are the God." She recognized that it was the God who could see her. You see, she had come from a background of idolatry. There were gods of all kinds, but she said, "You are the God who sees me and knows me." She said, "For now I have seen the one who sees me." She saw God as well. And so often, just like Abram and Sarai did, we become impatient when God gives us a promise. And we say, "I've got to hurry it up." And instead of waiting on the Lord and resting in the promises he has made, just like Abram and Sarai, we take God's promises into our own hands and we make a big mess of it. We try to make it happen the way that we think it should happen. But God, it has to be in control. One of the greatest tests of faith comes when God says, "Trust me. Trust me with your future. Trust me with what I have in store for you." It's a mistake to use human means to accomplish divine aims. Humanity, we cannot accomplish what God has in mind. The consequences come about later, and we experience something that could have been avoided if we had been obedient and faithful. Sarai tried to take matters into her own hands because the Lord wasn't working fast enough for her liking, and it caused her to lose sight of the promise. She lost sight of it. God doesn't need our help to make his promises a reality. All he asks of us is faith in him and his promises. Hagar, like many people today, was hurt by those whom she trusted. Have you ever thought about that? she became the servant of a man that was chosen of God to lead the people that God chose him to lead, to be his special people. And she left her idols and those gods, and she trusted Abram and Sarai to guide her. But she was hurt by those whom she trusted. I think about Christians today. How many people have we witnessed to, and we have said, you can trust me, and then we have failed them. I remember the story that I heard that just broke my heart of a woman who was a Sunday school teacher, and the little boy that wanted to come so badly to church, but he didn't have fine clothes nor shoes. And today we don't have very many people in our country that are like that. But I remember as a child that I got one pair of shoes each year, and that was when school was to start. And the rest of the time, and I didn't wear those at home, I went barefoot. Probably why I've got pretty healthy feet. But, you know, this little boy came to the class, and the teacher was teaching, and the little boy was so excited to hear the message of Jesus, the message of, yes, Jesus loves me. This is somebody that I've always wanted to know that I was special, and I hear this message. And then as he was leaving, and he said, oh, I'm so glad I came today. I'll be back. And she said, well, son, don't come barefoot again. Don't come in those dirty clothes again. She was trying to say, get something better, but she destroyed that young man's life. He didn't go back. He didn't go back barefoot because he didn't go back anymore. And I think about us today. How many times have we injured somebody who has trusted us and has believed in us, and our testimony, we have dropped it. It has not followed through. Hagar was Sarai's servant, and what Sarai suggested was commonly accepted in the culture. And so I have said, as I said a while ago, the standard is not, is it socially acceptable? The standard is it God's will? There are things that are socially accepted. We know as we're going to the polls to vote, I want you to consider, what is God's will? We don't vote for what is acceptable. There are many things that are legal, but they are not acceptable to God. So Hagar sat by the well in the desert, and there was no one in sight. And as she sat there quite still, she hears a voice, Hagar. She hears it again. Hagar, Sarai's maid. Whoever is that is speaking knows who she is and what she is and all about her. God knows all about us. We have an outward facade. Other people can see just our outward appearance, but God sees inside of us. We used to sing that song a long time ago, How About Your Heart? Others see the outside, but God sees what's really inside. It is common knowledge, I believe, that the scholars, Bible scholars, identify the angel of the Lord as the pre-incarnate Son of God. In the Old Testament, there are many times that Jesus Christ appeared before he was born on this earth. He appeared as the angel of the Lord. He was the messenger from God because he was God come to testify. It's interesting that this is the first recorded time that Jesus appeared as God's messenger. The first time the Bible records it, it's to a little slave girl, somebody who is not even one of God's chosen people. Interestingly, she's an Egyptian slave girl, and yet Jesus came and appeared to her. Jesus is specifically called the messenger of the covenant. In Malachi 3:1, we read, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts." Jesus is this messenger. Many times when he comes, when he wrestled with Jacob, I believe he was also the messenger. In the 4th chapter of John, we read about another encounter that Jesus had with a woman at a well, a Samaritan woman. She was not one of the chosen people. But Jesus always, he reached out to everyone, just like he does today. He reaches to anybody. It doesn't matter how deep in sin they have gone. He still reaches out to them. And this woman who was broken and hurt, a Samaritan woman, in John the 4th chapter, verse 14, Jesus said, he said to her, he was telling her, give me a drink of water. And she says, how do you ask? And you know the story. Why do you ask me? I'm a Samaritan woman. You don't even speak to those women. And Jesus says in the 14th verse, whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. You remember how that he told her about her life. He saw her because he is the God who sees. And she went and she witnessed and she said, come and see the one. He is the Messiah. He's told me everything about my life. Now, Jesus doesn't make it a point to tell everyone else about your life. But he confronts you. Remember how that Nathanael, when his brother went to get him and he said, come and see, this is the Messiah. Nathanael said, how can anything good come out of Nazareth? It's a nothing place. If you feel like you're in a nothing place, well, that's where Jesus lived. That's where God brought him. He was raised there. He says, what can come out of Nazareth? And then whenever he came, Jesus said, behold, here's a man with no guile, with no deceit in him. Nathanael said, how could you know me? How do you know this about me? He said, I saw you when you were over there sitting under the fig tree. God sees us. He sees us before we ever come to encounter that relationship with him. He sees us. Jesus called Hagar by name, Hagar. What would it mean if God were to call you by name? You ever heard him call you by your name? I have heard people who've said, I've heard my name called. And I had a man, a friend that told me, he said, a friend of my husband and I, some of you remember him, he came and spoke here. But anyway, he said, the Lord called me by my name, but it was not, I knew it was my name, but it wasn't the name I was given here on earth. God has a name that he's given each of us that identifies who we are because he has seen inside and he knows us very well. You see, God knew Hagar's history. He knew everything about her, her situation, where she'd come from and why she had run away. He knew all of that, but he asked her. He said, Hagar, servant of Sarai, where have you come from? And where are you going? God may be asking you the same question. Do you really want to go back into the world? He was asking her, do you want to go back? Remember where you came from, the idol worship, the heathen gods? He said, I remember where you came from, and where are you going? Hagar didn't have a good answer to that question. Her life was in such chaos, she really didn't know. She may be on a road that leads to Egypt, but what she's going to do, even if she gets there, what is she going to do? Where have you come from, he asks. And Hagar answered honestly, I'm running from my problems. Boy, you ever hear that? Genesis 16, verse 8, she said, I'm running away from my mistress Sarai. A lot of people probably feel that way. If they don't like their job, they want to quit. If their marriage is difficult, they want a divorce. If their parents are too strict, they want to sneak out of the house. Drugs and alcohol and gambling and even working or shopping can all be ways of running away. We usually run away because we don't think there is any solution. But God does have a solution, just like he had a solution for Hagar. Warren Wiersbe said, this life is 10% what you make it and 90% how you take it. Sometimes we just have to take the things that are dealt to us and grow in our spirit and become the person God wants us to be. Jesus' command to Hagar was to go back and work through it. And I believe that that's what he's telling us when we try to run away from things. He said, go back. I'll be with you. You can work through it. Hagar had one-on-one encounter with God. When Hagar realized who was speaking to her and she felt his divine presence, she couldn't help but exclaim, you are the God who sees me. I have now seen the one who sees me. You are the God. I'm not alone. I'm not friendless after all. That recognition, when people recognize that, when they have that one-on-one encounter with our Heavenly Father, with Jesus, we realize we are not alone. Somebody cares about us. Somebody loves me. There is a God, and a God who sees me and who takes such notice of me that He even speaks to me. That's what God wants for us in our lives. It is one thing to believe there is a God, but it's quite another thing to know it by coming into personal contact with Him. I have said that one of the things that is lacking so much in our society today is that personal encounter with our God, personal encounter with Jesus Christ. When we've been in His presence, when we felt His power and tasted of His love, then we will know Him. We will know Him. And then we don't want to do the things that the world, that society says is okay, because we've had an encounter with that Almighty God. Hagar went back willing to bear the reproach and rebuke because she had a promise hidden in her heart. God had given her a promise, and He has a promise for each of us. She was going to be a mother of a father of nations. God graciously steps into the lives of messed up people and redeems the situation, just like He did for Hagar. It wasn't her fault that she was in that messed up situation. Sometimes it is our fault, but God still will step in and He'll redeem us. Sometimes it isn't our fault, but the angel of the Lord found Hagar, and He will find us. You see, she didn't find the Lord. The Lord found her. He sought her out. God has a wonderful way of finding hurting people. Even when they are mistakes, God finds them and speaks to them. Hagar's words in verse 13, she gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her. You're the God who sees me. I've seen the one who sees me. He sees your pain. He is a high priest who is touched with the feelings of our infirmities, no matter what mistakes we have made. The Lord told Hagar to name her son Ishmael. What does Ishmael mean?
God hears.
It means God hears. That's right. The Hebrew word, God hears. When we cry out, Ishmael means God hears, and God had a promise for her. Isn't it fitting that Jesus' first appearance as the angel was to Hagar, this mistreated outcast slave woman who was at the end of her rope? And how many testimonies I have heard. And Joshua tells me, I was driving down the street the other day, and it's not uncommon. He said, pull over, stop, stop, stop. And I said, what? It kind of makes me a little, you know, uneasy because he's yelling, stop, pull over. I pulled over. And he says, right in that parking lot, right in that parking lot. So I pulled in, and he jumped out. And then I looked, and I saw a man who was lying on the sidewalk, broken. Probably, I don't know what the problem was. I stayed in the car. Joshua ran over there and said, hey, buddy, you okay? And he began to talk to him. And the guy removed his hat while he prayed for him. We have to be the hands, the arms of God extended to those that are dirty, filthy, broken, lost. It shows us who Jesus came for. He came for her just like He comes for us. When you feel like giving up, God sees you. Genesis, the 16th chapter, we read there, Hagar wanted God to transform her circumstances, but God wanted to transform her. God doesn't always change our circumstances. He wants to do a work in our lives. When she came face to face with Jesus, she was able to say, I have seen the God who sees me. It was a revelation moment for her. One that we can all learn from and apply, because just as He saw Hagar, Jesus sees you and me. Hagar was in need. She cried out. And when we're in need and when we cry out, Jesus is there to see our situation and to hear us. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It says in Romans, the 10th chapter, verse 13, it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God is a God that has no barriers. All you have to do is say, God, I need you. Remember, Jesus was rejected so you would never have to be rejected. We read in Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, verse 5. And the whole chapter, I have a hard time. I have to narrow it down. But in the fifth verse, it says, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And that is applicable to our lives, no matter where it is, what kind of healing we need. God is there. He went through it for us. And then some people have the foolish idea that it's by their works or by their righteousness that God will be moved and he'll do something for them. But that isn't the case. He paid the penalty for us. No matter where we are in life, no matter what's happening in our little world, even if we think that we are totally isolated and think that no one knows what we're facing, we can be assured that God knows and he cares. Yes. And in Psalm 139 chapter, there in closing, I'd like to read some of these verses. David said, and David went through some dark places in his life. He fell into sin many times. He disobeyed God, but he had a heart for God anyway. And then he was running from Saul early. But he said in the 139th chapter, he said, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. God has searched you, and he knows all about you. He knows you. Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. He knows when you're down. He knows when you're up. Thou understandest my thought afar off. He even knows what you're thinking. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. If you think you're hiding from somebody, your ways, God says he knows them. David said, you know it. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. But he says he even knows your thoughts before you speak the word. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light around me, about me. The darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Then he says, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written. While I was being formed, you saw my substance. I wasn't completely formed, but you saw me in the very beginning. All of my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of them. You know, you can be open with God, and you can come to him and tell him everything about your life. You can say, God, you know what I've done. You know this about God already knows about it. It says, how precious are your thoughts unto me. Search me, O God, and know my heart. And this is what we say as we take communion, as we receive communion periodically. That is the prayer that we pray. Search my heart, O God. It's not that Pastor Richie is standing up here saying, you're a sinner. But I say, search my heart, O God, and know my thoughts. Try me, test me, and see if there is any wickedness in me, any wicked way. And he says, and then lead me in the way everlasting. That is what God wants us to be. He wants us to be a vessel that he is open before him. He always sees us and he knows us. So I say, God is a God who sees and he is a God who hears. We are not separated from him. Amen. Perhaps those of you that are watching today, you say, well, I have not encountered this God. I don't know anything about him. I know that I've gone through a lot of heartache in my life. I've been mistreated. I've been misunderstood. And I've been broken. You're not alone. There are many people who've been broken. But Jesus is the broken healer. He heals the brokenhearted. And so I invite you today to just ask him with me. as we pray, ask Him, Lord Jesus, heal the brokenness in my life. Change this me, not the circumstances necessarily, but change me, O God. As David prayed, change my heart, O God. And Lord Jesus, I trust in the blood of Jesus, the sacrifice that you've paid for me, that it is sufficient. It is enough. There's nothing that I can do that will redeem my soul, but you have paid that price. I believe that you have died for me and that you rose for me. Amen, in Jesus' name. If you believe that and you prayed that prayer, somebody said to me the other day, why is it we pray these long prayers? It is a matter of the belief in the heart. If you believe with your heart that Jesus is Lord and you invite Him to be Lord of your life, that's all it takes, is to believe that He is the Lord and your life is transformed. Thank you for joining us today at Living Waters Church. We invite you to join us again. May the Lord bless you this week. May His blessings be upon you. Doesn't want to respond, does it? Okay. Aren't you glad that you have a friend that's with you that knows all about you? You're never alone. Yes. He's there, and you can trust Him with anything in your life. He's there for you. Is there anything that anybody would like us to pray about? Is there anything today that you say, I have a special need, I need prayer? We are here to pray with you and for you if you need that. We all need prayer. We pray for one another, and I'm so thankful for that prayer team that meets each evening, almost every evening, except for Saturday and Sunday evenings. But they meet and pray for the needs of the people. And I'm going to tell you that we've seen God answer prayer. We have seen God answer prayer. Ramona, do you have a report regarding your brother-in-law? Is he doing better or about the same, or how is he? Okay.
He's responding to the antibiotics they're giving him.
Okay.
At this point, just continue to pray. We don't
know. Okay. All right. Her husband's brother had what appeared to be, I guess it was a stroke. And they said that it was a result of a valve that he, an artificial valve that he had put in his heart a few years ago. There was an infection. And so now there was infection in his blood. And we really need to pray that his blood will be purified. And he's not an old man. He's, what, about 50? Not quite 50? Yeah. Anyway, and he has a family, a wife, and three children. And we continue to pray for Matt, but he's in intensive care still and doesn't have the use of all of his body at this point. But we are praying. And if there are other needs that you want the prayer team to pray about, you can put the request in that box or you can let somebody know and they will pray for you. Yes. Is there anything that anybody would like to say before we are dismissed? Well, I guess you know that my kids are always the ones who like to talk.
I'm just up here so the priest will talk.
Okay.
So I don't know how many of you know that last week Joshua says, come on, we're getting in the car. We're going to go talk to people.
Oh, this is after church last Sunday.
Yeah, we did. And so we had some backpacks filled with different things that people might need that are in need. And we went to the park and handed some out, and we sent some. Ramona came too.
Come on, girl, get up here.
But and we all went out there. We didn't know what to expect, but we bowed our heads and we prayed before we went. And God took over and He took the wheel, because I'll tell you, we were out in the park and we had some hardcore people. I mean, they had their alcohol, their 40s out and everything. And I was a little bit nervous walking up there with my sister. I was like, we're going to have to protect them or something. But you know what? God protected us. And the Holy Spirit went with us because when we got there, this girl, she had tattoos on her neck and all over the place. And we began to talk to her. And she was very receptive to what the message was that we were trying to share. And we talked to her a little bit, and she explained her situation and said that her baby died, and that's why she was in the park like that. And Ramona ran up to her and just hugged her. And I thought, what on earth are you doing? You're terrible. You know, and as soon as she did, Therese said, it's okay. You know, Ramona lost the baby too. You know, and as soon as she said that, the girl just began to cry, and they began to pray together.
Yeah.
I mean, and I thought, that's not Ramona speaking. That's definitely because Ramona started preaching at this girl and shaking her head. And I know my sister was a little more scared than that. But the girl was raising her hands in the park with Ramona like this, and they were just praying. And I saw the Holy Spirit at work. I was like, that's what it's about right there. I was like, wow, thank you, God. We prayed for 3 people that day, and all of them we gave a backpack to. And so it was amazing. I think that the outreach ministry is a good deal, and so we're going to continue to do that. I don't know about today, but we're going to continue to do that, and I just would ask the church just to pray for the outreach, you know, here in Casa Grande, because it needs it, and everywhere.
So we've given out all the backpacks. We don't have any more. They've given them out, so if we want to continue with putting together a care package or I don't know what, we'd like to
even
do
something small,
but it
one
does.
One more thing, we've got a pretty cool Bible study going on at the house on Thursday nights. I mean, a lot of young people come in and get saved, and my sister's been coming with some of her friends. It's been awesome. So, church, please keep that in prayer too. Yes.
All right. So God is working, and I'm sure that you have testimonies. We're not going to, unless somebody has something burning inside, we're gonna be dismissed. All right, as we're dismissed, let's just stand together, and let's see, who wants to dismiss us? Sister Irene, you just look like you'd love to just bless us and tell the Lord to go with us. Would you dismiss us, please?